The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello and welcome to Reflections Day by Day, a program from the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. For the next half hour, I'll be reading from the appointed daily scriptures and a brief commentary from the publication Forward Day by Day, a daily devotional for disciples. This booklet is intended for any Christian or non-denominational reader and is affiliated with the Episcopal Church USA. Our readings on this program cover the week of Monday, July 14th through Sunday, July 20th, 2025. The commentary for July was written by Roger Hutchison, an award-winning author, illustrator, and lay ministry leader in the Episcopal Church. Roger is known for his compassionate work with children affected by tragedy and for his openness about his journey with ADHD, anxiety, and depression. He is author of 9 books, and his paintings appear on the covers of the 2025 Forward Day by Day booklets. The commentary for Monday, July 14th, begins as follows with a passage from Psalm 25, verse 8. The passage is, "He guides the humble in doing right and teaches his way to the lowly." Have you ever eaten humble pie? Well, I sure have. If you aren't familiar with humble pie, it is a figurative serving of humiliation, usually a forced submission, apology, or retraction. Humility, a delicate balance between ego, overconfidence, and openness to God's guidance, is powerful. It not only fosters meaningful relationships and a sense of community, but also anchors us in uncertain times. Embracing humility allows us to be open to grace and guidance, leading to a deeper understanding of ourselves and our place in the world. More importantly, seeking wisdom with a humble heart fosters a sense of connection and purpose, grounding us in our journey. Humility brings us closer to others and opens the door to a deeper spiritual understanding. It is an invitation to embrace openness and readiness, allowing us to accept the gifts of grace and the wisdom that comes with it. And now I'm going to read the full Psalm 25. "To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, in you I trust. Do not let me put to shame. Do not let my enemies exult over me. Do not let those who wait for you to be put to shame. Let them be ashamed who are wantonly treacherous. Make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all day long. Be mindful of your mercy, O Lord, and of your steadfast love. For they have been from of old. Do not remember the sins of my youth or my transgressions. According to your steadfast love, remember me. For your goodness' sake, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord, therefore he instructs sinners in the way. He leads the humble in what is right, and teaches the humble his way. All the paths of the Lord are steadfast love and faithfulness for those who keep his covenant and his decrees. For your name's sake, O Lord, pardon my guilt, for it is great. Who are they that fear the Lord? He will teach them the way that they should choose. They will abide in prosperity, and their children shall possess the land. The friendship of the Lord is for those who fear him, and he makes his covenant known to them. My eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he will pluck my feet out of the net. Turn to me and be gracious to me, for I am lonely and afflicted. Relieve the troubles of my heart and bring me out of my distress. Consider my affliction and my trouble, and forgive all my sins. Consider how many are my foes, and with what violent hatred they hate me. O guard my life and deliver me. Do not let me be put to shame, for I take refuge in you. May integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait for you. Redeem Israel, O God, out of all its troubles. And the moving forward question for this Monday, July 14th, how does that humble pie taste? It might be worth sampling with some humility instead. The commentary for Tuesday, July 15th, begins with a passage from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 2, verse 11. I say to you, stand up, take your mat, and go to your home. In this familiar reading, we remember the paralyzed man who had to be lowered through the roof. Immediately when Jesus saw the paralyzed man, he looked at him and told him his sins were forgiven. In typical fashion, those around him wanted to know why he did this. Jesus looked back at the man and told him to stand up, take his mat, and go home, and immediately he did. Where do trust and faith fit into this? The paralyzed man had longed for healing. Yet who in the story was more paralyzed, the one who stood up, took his mat, and went out, or those unmoved by their lack of faith? And now I'm going to read from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. When he returned to Capernaum after some days, it was reported that he was at home. So many gathered around there was a longer room for them, not even in front of the door, and he was speaking the word to them. Then some people came, bringing to him a paralyzed man, carried by four of them. And when they could not bring him to Jesus because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him, and after dug through it, they let down the mat on which the paralytic lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now, with some of the scribes sitting there, questioning in their hearts, "Why does this fellow speak in this way? It is blasphemy. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" At once, Jesus perceived in his spirit that they were discussing these questions among themselves, and he said to them, "Why do you raise such questions in your hearts? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Stand up and take to your mat and walk'? But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic, 'I say to you, stand up and take your mat and go to your home.' And he stood up and immediately took the mat and went out before all of them, so that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, 'We have never seen anything like this.'" And the moving forward question for this Tuesday, July 15th, is, do you trust Jesus to help you get unstuck? The commentary for Wednesday, July 16th, begins with a passage from the book of Psalm 119, verse 27. "Make me understand the way of your commandments, that I may meditate on your marvelous works." I remember the first time a friend recommended that I try meditation. I was in the midst of a mental health crisis and desperate to find my way off the worry train and to center myself in the present moment. At first, I wasn't very good at meditation. My mind rejected every attempt to settle. But in time and after much practice, I noticed that my breath began to change and my soul became more peaceful. Today, I can't live without setting aside some time for daily meditation. Even now, on some days, my mind wants to reject this quiet time. And that's okay. I just return the next day and try again. And now the Psalm 119, verses 25 through 48. My soul clings to the dust. Revive me according to your word. When I told of my ways, you answered me. Teach me your statutes. Make me understand the ways of your precepts, and I will meditate on your wondrous works. My soul melts away for sorrow. Strengthen me according to your word. Put false ways far from me, and graciously teach me your law. I have chosen the way of faithfulness. I set your ordinances before me. I cling to your decrees, O Lord. Let me not be put to shame. I run the way of your commandments, for you enlarge my understanding. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I will observe it to the end. Give me understanding, that I may keep your law and observe it with my whole heart. Lead me in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. Turn my heart to your decrees and not to selfish gain. Turn my eyes from looking at vanities. Give me life in your ways. Confirm to your servant your promise, which is for those who fear you. Turn away the disgrace that I dread, for your ordinances are good. See, I have longed for your precepts, and your righteousness give me life. Let your steadfast love come to me, O Lord, your salvation according to your promise. Then I shall have an answer for those who taunt me, for I trust in your every word. Do not take the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for my hope is in your ordinances. I will keep your law continually, forever and ever. I shall walk at liberty, for I have sought your precepts. I will also speak of your decrees before kings, and shall not be put to shame. I find my delight in your commandments, because I love them. I revere your commandments, which I love, and I will meditate on your statutes. And the moving forward question for this Wednesday, give meditation a try. Start now by closing your eyes, taking a deep breath, and then focusing on your breath. The commentary for Thursday, July 17th, begins with Psalm 37, verses 7 and 8. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret yourself over the one who prospers, the one who succeeds in evil schemes. I might be the least patient person you'll ever meet. When I was a child, I dreamed of being an author, of writing books, best sellers that you would find in every library. So I began to write, and then I took the first step of sharing my work with editors and publishers. I should have realized that the publishing industry is one of the most challenging industries, especially if you lack patience. The process is like watching a snail race. The rejections come, and if you get to the point of getting a book published through hard work and luck, it might be 2 or 3 years before you hold the actual book in your hands. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Mercy, I'm trying, but it takes work. And now I'm going to read the gospel passage from Psalm 37, verses 1 through 18. Do not fret because of the wicked. Do not be envious of wrongdoers. For they will soon fade like the grass and wither like the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, so you will live in the land and enjoy security. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will act. He will make your vindication shine like the light, and the justice of your cause like the noonday. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret over those who prosper in their way, over those who carry out evil devices. Refrain from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret, it leads only to evil. For the wicked shall be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord shall inherit the land. Yet a little while, and the wicked will be no more. Though you look diligently for their place, they will not be there. But the meek shall inherit the land and delight themselves in abundant prosperity. The wicked plot against the righteous and gnash their teeth at them. But the Lord laughs at the wicked, for he sees that their day is coming. The wicked draw the sword and bend their bows to bring down the poor and needy, to kill those who walk uprightly. Their sword shall enter their own heart, and their bows shall be broken. Better is a little that the righteous person has than the abundance of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholds the righteous. The Lord knows the days of the blameless, and their heritage will abide forever. And the moving forward question for this Thursday, do you have a dream you're patiently waiting for? Do not fret. The passage for Friday, July 18th, begins with a passage from Psalm 31, verses 2 to 3a. Incline your ear to me, make haste to deliver me. Be my strong rock, a castle to keep me safe. I am a massive fan of the singer and songwriter Brandi Carlile. I adore her music and know most of her songs by heart. When Carlile released the song You and Me on the Rock in 2021, it immediately resonated with me. The lyrics made me think of this passage from Psalm 31. In the song, Brandi beautifully expresses her life, needs, and journeys, emphasizing the significance of the rock where she has built her home and the importance of being with her loved ones. The rock symbolizes her refuge and is a strong fortress that brings her salvation. Brandi's ability to craft such significant and personal lyrics truly sets her apart as an artist. And the connection the song has to this text from the psalm is holy and good. Now I'm going to read from Psalm 31. In you, O Lord, I seek refuge. Do not let me ever be put to shame. In your righteousness, deliver me. Incline your ear to me. Rescue me speedily. Be a rock of refuge for me, a strong fortress to save me. You are indeed my rock and my fortress. For your name's sake, lead me and guide me. Take me out of the net that is hidden for me. You are my refuge. Into your hand I commit my spirit. You have redeemed me, O Lord, faithful God. You hate those who pay regard to worthless idols, but I trust in the Lord. I will exult and rejoice in your steadfast love, because you have seen my affliction. You have taken heed of my adversities, and have not delivered me into the hand of the enemy. You have set my feet in a broad place. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am in distress. My eye wastes away from grief, my soul and body also. For my life is spent with sorrow, and my years with sighing. My strength fails because of my misery, and my bones waste away. I am the scorn of all my adversaries, a horror to my neighbors, an object of dread to my acquaintances. Those who see me in the street flee from me. I have passed out of mind like one who is dead. I have become like a broken vessel. For I hear the whispering of many, terror all around, as they scheme together against me, as they plot to take my life. But I trust in you, O Lord. I say, you are my God. My times are in your hand. Deliver me from the hand of my enemies and persecutors. Let your face shine upon your servant. Save me in your steadfast love. Do not let me be put to shame, O Lord, for I call on you. Let the wicked be put to shame. Let them go dumbfounded to Sheol. Let the lying lips be stilled that speak insolently against the righteous with pride and contempt. And the moving forward question for this day is, what are the rocks in your life? Give thanks for them in prayer and in person. The commentary for Saturday, July 19th, begins also with a passage from Psalm 30, verses 5 and 6. For his wrath endures but the twinkling of an eye, his favor for a lifetime. Weeping may spend the night, but joy comes in the morning. Growing up, I observed that men did not cry, whether this was because of community norms, expectations, bravado, or embarrassment, I don't know. But I can't remember seeing a man cry when I was young. When I experienced a mental health crisis, I often found myself weeping, and not just a little bit, but constantly. Then one day I was sitting with a friend who told me that weeping is energy longing to be released. Weeping became a superpower and a place I visited but didn't stay. Joy came in the morning. For all of you who have been afraid or ashamed to cry, I encourage you to see weeping as energy longing for release. And take heart, joy will come in the morning. And now some words from Psalm 30. I will extol you, O Lord, for you have drawn me up. I did not let my foes rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cried to you for help, and you have healed me. O Lord, you brought me up. You brought up my soul from Sheol, restored me to life from among those gone down to the pit. Sing praises to the Lord, O you, his faithful ones, and give thanks to his holy name. For his anger is but for a moment. His favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may linger for the night, but joy comes with the morning. As for me, I said in my prosperity, I shall never be moved. By your favor, O Lord, you had established me as a strong mountain. You hid your face. I was dismayed. To you, O Lord, I cried, and to the Lord I made supplication. What profit is there in my death? If I do go down to the pit, will the dust praise you? Will it tell of your faithfulness? Hear, O Lord, and be gracious to me. O Lord, be my helper. You have turned my mourning into dancing. You have taken off my sackcloth and clothed me with joy, so that my soul may praise you and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I will give thanks to you forever. And the moving forward question, does the idea of weeping as a superpower give you comfort and permission to cry? What is stopping you? And now as we near the end of the week and the end of our program for this week, let's turn to the commentary for Sunday, July 20th, the sixth Sunday of Pentecost. It begins with a passage from the book of Genesis in the Old Testament, chapter 18, verse 3. He said, "My Lord, if I find favor with you, do not pass by your servant." I love this reading. I picture Abraham sitting at the entrance of his tent in the heat of the day. He is hot and tired. The Lord appears to him, and three men are standing near him. Without hesitation, Abraham gives the men a drink of water, washes their feet, has them rest beneath a tree, feeds them bread, prepares a calf, takes herbs and milk, and offers a feast to them. Hospitality and welcome matter, and Abraham wanted favor with the Lord. So he did all in his power to make the Lord feel welcome, respected, and loved. Hospitality is truly a beautiful expression of care and connection, and Abraham's actions serve as a powerful example for all of us. And now I'm going to read from Genesis 18, verses 1 through 10a. The Lord appeared to Abraham by the oaks of Mamre, as he sat at the entrance of his tent in the heat of the day. He looked up and saw three men standing near him. When he saw them, he ran from the tent entrance to meet them and bowed down to the ground. He said, "My Lord, if I find favor with you, do not pass by your servant. Let a little water be brought and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree. Let me bring a little bread that you may refresh yourselves, and after that you may pass on, since you have come to your servant." So they said, "Do as you have said." And Abraham hastened into the tent to Sarah and said, "Make ready quickly 3 measures of choice flour. Knead it and make cakes." Abraham ran to the herd and took a calf, tender and good, and gave it to the servant who hastened to prepare it. Then he took curds and milk and the calf that he had prepared and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree while they ate. They said to him, "Where is your wife Sarah?" And he said, "There in the tent." Then one said, "I will surely return to you in due season, and your wife Sarah shall have a son." And Sarah was listening at the tent entrance behind him. The moving forward question for this Sunday, July 20th, is, when have you experienced radical welcome, and when have you extended it to others? And that's all the time we have for today's episode of Reflections Day by Day. Let's close with a special prayer from Father Richard Rohr, founder of the Center for Action and Contemplation in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Let us pray. Creator God, O great love, thank you for living and loving in us and through us. May all that we do flow directly from our deep connection with you and other beings. Help us become a community that shares each other's burdens and the weight of glory. Listen to our heart's longings for the healing of our world. Knowing that you are hearing us much better than we are speaking, we offer this prayer in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and in all the holy names of God. Amen. I'm George Douglas. Thank you so much for joining me today for Reflections Day by Day. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Reflections Day by Day is a presentation of the North Carolina Reading Service and is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Please join me for a new program of readings and commentary next week from Forward Day by Day, a publication of forwardmovement.org. Goodbye until next time.